That's right.
All right. Anyway, so today's Parshas Va'era. So we'll do a few short pieces, and then we'll do like from some pieces from Rav Simon, like always. Excuse me. Anyway, so in the Turei Torah, it brings down. There's a pasuk in the Chumash. It says that if Paro speaks to you, he says Tenu lachem ofet. You know, I need a miracle. Show me some miracle. So you'll say to Aaron, take the mate. Okay, I'm getting other noise. I'm gonna have to mute. Okay, let me just mute. So you'll say to Aaron, take the mate and throw it down, and it'll be a ton in. So there's a piece here he brings down. He quotes it Ginsenu Hatikis from Unzer Alter and Otsar, which I had photocopied some things with. I was studying with Abe Rosenberg this. So he brings down from the Admor Reb Isaac Mikomarna. He was well known as a Baal Mofet. In other words, he would do all these miraculous things. And many people streamed to him, and many people, you know, told about all the wondrous things he did and how they were saved. So the Maskilim in Galicia, that all those moftim, that was like, you know, like for mentioning them, that this Rebbe should be praised from all these miraculous things. So they sent one of their members to Komarna, to his courtyard secretly, to study him. And that Shliach afterwards wrote an article in Hamagid. Magid, I think, was some journal that he wrote an article in Magid. And there he proved that all the moftim were just a result of hypnosis and suggestion, whatever. So when they showed one of the supporters of the Rebbe the article in Magid, he says, the Torah teaches us, Vayaso totli enei ha'am, vayamein ha'am, that Moshe Rabbeinu performed the miracles to the people, and they believed. And it says, but by Paro it says, by Chazakli Parovelo Shamalehem. Paro's heart was hardened, and he didn't listen to them. Means the same Moshe Rabbeinu, the same miracles, the Jews believe, and Paro doesn't believe. So he says, because it's Talui with the eyes that are seeing it. If it's, you know, Ene Yisrael is one thing, and some, but it means how you filter things. You know, there's a story, I didn't look it up recently, but with Yuri Gagarin, when he was shot, he was the Soviet cosmonaut. He was the first, I think, Soviet cosmonaut. He went to space. So he came down. He said he looked everywhere. He didn't find God anywhere. I guess he was touting the official line. And then they had one of the Apollo spacecrafts. It might have been Apollo 11 that went around the moon. And do you remember they took out a Bible and they said, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And it's like, you know, like it depends how you're looking at things and what sort of glasses you see things. And so the same event that could be mechazek, a person's amuna, like if something else, you know, doesn't see anything. All right, let me say one more piece, then I'll pause, then I'll
take some... I have a question after this piece, though?
Yeah, absolutely, just... absolutely, absolutely. Okay.
Thank you.
Now it says
Paro had his chartumim, right?
We'll say again.
Paro had his chartumim.
Right.
And they had some sort of scientific, maybe, astrological, maybe. I know that we had Emunah and Hashem, but where did we hold in the science at that time?
Okay, let me do one more piece, then I'll come to you, okay? Now, It says, Kachaman Chava Shlech Lefnei Faro Yehila Tanin. So this is from Rameir Shapiro from Lublin, and he says that a person is very influenced by the environment, whether it's good or bad. Like the most Adam Nela, the most elevated person, he could become like corrupted if he hangs around people who are mushchatim. He's in a bad neighborhood. He could be brought down. And punk fakared, if a person's big rasha, he'll improve his path if he's surrounded by Bnei Elyon. It means you take somebody, he's a big Michal Shabbos, you put him in Bnei Brak or Borough Park, he'll slowly drift a little bit more towards Yiddishkeit. And if you take the person's tzaddik and you put him somewhere in Idaho, you know, in Boise, Idaho, I don't know if they have a minion there, you know, he's likely to go downhill. So he says here, that's Merumaz in the Mateh, but Moshe Rabbeinu's staff that changed into a Nachash. The Mateh Elokim that had the Shem Meforash, you know, inscribed in it, if you throw it before Paro in that bad environment, it turns into a Tanin. It turns into this, you know, snake or a serpent. He says, like, you know, like a dangerous creature. But the same Nachash, poisonous Nachash, changes to Mateh Elokim if Moshe Rabbeinu holds on to it. In other words, the Mateh, when Moshe Rabbeinu is holding it, it's Mateh Elokim. in front of Pharaoh, it's a tanin. And it's just like Merame is this idea about how much, you know, we're all impacted by our environment. Okay, now what did you want to say before Fern? Fern, now's the time.
It's not a shining question. Just I wanted to know. I know that we came with our emuna, and Pharaoh came with his heart to me.
Right.
And his avoda zara, right. Whatever, right. You know, right. The avoda para. Where did we stand on the science? In other words, Egyptians are known for their Pythagoras and all that. Where did we as a people stand in terms of the science? Did we have any understanding of science back then?
Well, can I make a comment on that, Eric?
Okay, fine.
I recently read some interesting things in Yiddish by the Rav Soloveitchik.
Wow.
It's a beautiful, beautiful book, magnificent Yiddish. And he comments that one of the obligations that the Jews had, and why even though we were enslaved in Egypt, nevertheless, we have an obligation to be thankful that we had a home there, we lived there, and besides that, we acquired the latest technology of, at that time, science. And the Jews needed all of these capabilities to become a nation so that when they come to Eretz Yisrael, they can fill all the jobs, all the positions. They became artisans in Egypt amongst the Egyptians. You had to base, in Midbar, when you built the
Mishkan.
So the comment is that the Jews did not ignore the sign. And by the way, Pythagoras was Greek, not Egyptian.
Yeah, I realized that.
And his theory. Okay. But the Egyptians were pretty smart. They built the pyramids and they had our engineering. So that's the answer. That is Soloveitchik, not my answer. This is Soloveitchik.
Yeah, all right. Let me just comment a little bit.
They didn't take the religious aspects, obviously, because they prayed to gods that were animals.
Yeah, you know? In other words, the Rav is saying that science is good. That's basically the idea. But which sefer are you quoting from? Which article was this, Abe? All right, he'll get it out. Okay, while he's getting it, let me see the book. What does it say? It says Drashas Unksavim. Yeah, and so, but the one that you read from, which the one you were just quoting, that's the whole book. But I'm saying in it,
there's an essay.
He has Shiurim from the Rav.
Oh, and who Shiurim. Publishes? Who publishes that? Who's the publisher? Is that why you?
Put together by my friend who lives in Forest Hills, in Jamaica States, rather.
What's your friend's name?
Ferguson. His name is Bob Ferguson.
Bob Ferguson?
It's Sean
Ferguson. Ferguson.
Berman, okay. Berman, he was a famous guy on, in the American Jewish life.
Which Berman with a B?
He's an attorney.
Which Berman?
Here it is. He has a preface in the book. I'm in it. Bald Zogman. How the Sean Bald Halein in Yiddish.
Okay.
See, I'm learning a little Yiddish.
Okay, or we'll get a little bit. We'll get Torah and we'll get Yiddish.
Forward to the book.
All right.
By Yehuda Berman. Julie Berman,
Julie Berman. Yeah, of course.
What is that? You want to hear what he wrote? In Yiddish.
All right, let me wait one second. Let me address Fern's question, then we'll hear from you from the Yiddish, okay?
Yiddish, by the way, is always select.
Okay, now, I don't know if I can answer you in Yiddish, Fern, but even if I did, I
don't
know if you'd understand. Anyway, but the idea is, though, I think on one level that the Egyptians, their Khartoumim were like through Kishif, like through sorcery and things like that. And there's an idea I saw. I didn't bring it with me prepared for today's shiur, but Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky speaks about it. Like Gamz Lumat Zeh Lumat Zeh Baralukim. Like, in other words, if Moshe Rabbeinu comes with his miracles and the Egyptians have nothing, so then bingo, I'm following Moshe Rabbeinu. So there always has to be a Bechira Chafshis. So to have a Bechira Chafshis, there has to be something, you know, that looks like it, but not the right thing. So there was something the Egyptians had in those days through their kishuf that was very powerful, but we don't hold from that sort of thing. I don't know if that answers the question. In other words, their kishuf was effective, but it's not what we use and not what we follow. Does that make sense?
Right. But they had ideas of geometry. They built the Sphinx.
I think that's what Abe is referring to. In other words, the Rav's Derech is, I think, that like science, there's nothing wrong with science. Right. Yeah, the science is good. We're not going to reject, you know, don't throw out the baby with the bathwater. In other words, the science,
what
something
did
wrong.
We hold? Were we smart in the science back then?
We
learned from the Egyptians. We learned from the Egyptians about science and technology. We did not learn from them religion, okay? Because they were totally backward on that.
All right. I think it's like it touches on like the Torah Mada.
Yes, who published a book. Here is a foreword by Julie Berman of this book that he wrote. Not he wrote, that he put together. The Torah Hara Fundatzer hat dem Schuss herausgegeben, dem Dosen Sefer Drosches und Ksuvim auf Yiddish nach Rav Yosef Dovid Soloveitchik der Lassad in Vlocha. In Meshach von langen Jahren ist Yiddish gewesen, das Hauptloschen auf welche der Rav hat gegeben Shiurim und Drosches. Und die Fundatia hat gehalten, als sie unser Heuf Kiddush aufzuhüten, Lador Deures, seine Wörter und sein Original Loschen und Stil. That's what they put together.
Right. The original. Or,
this was the language that he wrote.
He makes Yiddish sound like Shakespeare.
Yeah.
His Yiddish is so magnificent, but yet very comprehensible.
All right.
His English is less comprehensive. Have you read his English books, the Rav's?
What?
Probably translations. I've read Hebrew.
It's
a beautiful Hebrew.
Is extremely complex. His original English, he wrote,
he was
for
a
example,
philosopher.
On Shuvah. And his books, Yiddish is more comprehensible to me.
Wow. All right.
Beautiful.
Now, all right. Thank you. Okay.
Back to the motor.
Okay, now I'm going to do a piece. This is a piece from Rav Simon, and then we'll see how much time we have left over. So one of the Yesodos in Yadus is the concept of Nosei Ba'olim Chaveiro. It means to lift the yoke with your friend. It means to be concerned for his sa'ar, for his distress, his problem. If he has a problem, I'm in pain. Yeah. So he has an article or a piece in his sefer, Rav Simon does. He's one of the Rosh Yeshiva at Yeshiva Ben Yitzchak Chanan. And then he says there's a higher level, which we'll see in a minute. So in the Parsha, it says, Vayitzaveim ben Yisrael v'yil paro melech Yisrael, l'si ben Yisrael me'eretz Yisrael. It's a difficult pasuk. In other words, Hashem commanded Moshe and Aaron, El b'nei Yisrael, and v'yil paro melech Yisrael, concerning b'nei Yisrael and concerning paro, l'hotzi b'nei Yisrael me'eretz Yisrael, to bring the Jews out of Egypt. So to paro, obviously, he's telling him to take the Jews out. What is he telling to the Jews? In other words, the message to paro is, you have to release the slaves. What's the message to the Jews? So the Yerushalmi brings down Amatzivam. What did he command Klal Yisrael? Al Parshat Shiluach Avadim. That he gave, according to Yerushalmi, at that time, he gave over the Parsha of Shiluach Avadim, meaning there's a mitzvah in the Torah, if you have a Jewish slave, that when the Yovel comes, you have to release him. And when after 6 years, you also have to release him. So it was a bifurcated sivui. So so it's still hard to understand why Dafka now are they getting the mitzvah of Shiluach Avadim. I mean, it's a nice mitzvah, but why Dafka now? So first he quotes from the Meshech Chachma. The Meshech Chachma says that he explains the Yerushalmi differently. He says that in Egypt, that there were aristocratic Jews who also were slaveholders. It kind of like flips over our concept of Yetzias Mitzrayim. We always think we're the oppressed, we're the slaves, we're this, that, the other. But according to the Meshech Chachma, he thinks that there were Jews who were also slaveholders. And he says maybe they were from the three tribes, Reuven and Shimon and Levi. And he quotes to them that from the Medrash Rabbah that Shevet Levi wasn't in the Shibud Mitzrayim. They didn't get a Nachala on Eretz Israel. He figures that like, is the that in other words he's making that sort of a tzustel. In other words, if you weren't in the shibud, you don't get the nachla. In other words, you're not doing the time. You don't get the gift at the end. So he says that Levi didn't get a nachla on Eretz Israel, and Reuven only got a chelek and Eivar Yarden on the east bank, and Shimon is achal kem Yaakov. So the Ramban explains that Shimon had like disparate cities spread out over Shevet Yehuda. That's the way the Ramban in his Perush of the Chumash says. And he says, so some of them, you know, had slaveholders. So Shem concerning Bnei Israel and Paro. So the Sibui was everybody has to release the slaves. The Jews have to release their slaves, and Paro has to release his slaves. It's a little bit like the Cecil B. DeMille movie Ten Commandments. You have Edward G. Robinson, right? So he's got Dathan. He's got the slaveholders. So he says, therefore. Therefore, he connects these three Shvatim and Aaron and Moshe. In other words, in the Parsha, it mentions like these three Shvatim. It says, "Vayisamei mo b'shel pinu b'shel lo b'otzrayim." Let me get the Chumash out. It says, "One minute." This is in Shani. 1 minute.
But didn't Reuven get the other side of the Yarden because it wanted it?
Yeah, okay, 1 second. So, but first, it says the end of Rishon by the Pasuk that we were discussing, and then right away it segues into the genealogy, but it only mentions Reuven, Shimon, and Levi. So Rashi, I think, he says that he's miyaches everybody, really wants to develop the yichus of you know, Moshe and Aaron. But the way the Meshech Chachma is saying it relates to the previous mitzvah. Now, in terms, or just give me 1 second and I'll pause, okay? So he says, but Sof Kol Sof, the simple pshat is that he gave, from Yerushalmi, that he gave him the mitzvah of Shiluach Avadim, the mitzvah that's in the Torah. So why is he giving him now? So he quotes from Reb Chaim Shmuel Levitz, the late Rosh Yeshiva, the Mir Yeshiva. He says in his Sichot Musar, he says that this Sivui comes now, B'Shadi Sivus Yisrael, not a time of Matan Torah, because in the nature of a person, it's very difficult to free a slave. I can't say I've ever been in that situation, but if you have a slave, very difficult to say, okay, now you get to go, you were my slave before. But if the master has himself experienced that, so then it's easier for him to associate with it. And so now they gave him the mitzvah now. In other words, now that you're slaves in Egypt, this is the other pshat, not like the Meshech Chachma. Now that you're slaves in Egypt and you know what it means to be a slave, now B'dafka, I'm giving you the mitzvah of Shiluach Avadim. So it means that you have to feel like this sa'ar, like this connection. Now, in terms of the, you were saying the East Bank before, Fern. So I don't know what to say. I mean, Reuven, Menashe, and Chassi, Shevet Menashe. Reuven, Shimon, and
Reuven, yeah. God, and Chassi, Shevet Menashe.
Yeah, right. Reuven, God, and Chassi, Shevet Menashe. You're right. So it does come out, but it works out that way. I don't know what to say, but you're right. It comes out that they wanted it, but the cheshbon works out that way. All right. Now, he segues into an aspect about Moshe Rabbeinu. So Moshe Rabbeinu, he designated three of the Arei Miklat on the east bank, even though he knew that the he wouldn't be around for the three on the west bank. And none of the Arei Miklat are active till they've all been designated. So there's a famous pshat, you know, why did he only do the first three? So the Gemara Masechet Makot also says, and the Medrash Rabbah brings down, like Oev Kesef Lo Yisbah Kesef, the lover of money or silver is never satisfied, that Moshe Rabbeinu loved mitzvot, and he would say whatever mitzvah I could do, you know, mitzvah the Bali Adi Akaimen. I think it's in Makot and Daf Yud. So, but he has a different pshat, though, that this pshat, 1 second. Right, that was the Gemara in Makot, right? So now, I'm sorry, that was the Gemara in Makot. Now, but from the Medrash Rabbah brings down a different pshat. He says, why did Moshe Rabbeinu, you know, have such sacrifices as the name of the Arei Miklat? So Amar Levi, Misha Chalatav Shilu Yudea Tamo. Somebody who's tasted the food knows its taste. In other words, if you've eaten the food, you know the taste of the food. So he says, when Moshe Rabbeinu killed the Mitzri, so, and then in Datan Aviram, the two feeds the Jews, so he had to go on the lamb. In other words, Moshe Rabbeinu was on the lamb fleeing from Paro, who, you know, wanted him, you know, like the you know, most wanted poster from the FBI. So he knows what it is to be running away from an accusation of murder. So therefore, he felt like connected to this mitzvah of Ari Miklat. Ari Miklat is a person kills b'shogeg, but he flees to Ari Miklat. Now he has refuge. So Badafka, because Moshe Rabbeinu had this hargasha, this feeling, what it means to be on the lam from an accusation of murder, and in this case Moshe Rabbeinu, it was a justified murder, but the so he felt more connected to that mitzvah. That's the way that's going. So that's a type of nosei ba'olim chavero. In other words, like Klal Yisrael and Mitzrayim, they're enslaved, but they could feel like the pain of somebody else who's also enslaved. But I've experienced that slavery. And same thing by Moshe Rabbeinu. He says there's a higher level, and that's to feel the tsar for somebody, even though you've never been in a similar situation. And he quotes from the Gemara Masech Ksubas. It says Kifatoch Tiftachi Yadchalo Bahavetamitenu De Machsaro. That you have to, if somebody's an ani, you have to open up your hand and lend him money if he requires a loan. De Machsaro Asheikh Salo, that whichever he lacks. So Rashi explains based on the Gemara Masech Ksubas, I feel Susler Chovalov Ebel Ruslapanav. If the person was a very wealthy person and he went down in wealth, but he's accustomed to having a horse to ride on. He's accustomed to having a slave run in front of him. So then if I'm financially able, I'm obligated to try to give him something, you know, to put him back the way he was if he had a financial reverse. So he quotes the Leket Bahiris of Pirush and Rashi. He says that that Deimachsar Osheich Sar Lo, he's being mind that even if it's only chasir to him, in other words, like the natural reaction is, so get used to living the way we all live, you know. But Asher Yechsar Lo, for the person, that person feels it as a chisaron, even though it's not a chisaron for me. So it comes out that vis-a-vis the donor, it's not a chisaron, but vis-a-vis the recipient, it is a chisaron. Nevertheless, the Torah is mechayev me in that fashion. So, like, you know, this would be a hard sell at the Young Israel, I think. Let's say you had somebody who was very wealthy, lived in Kings Point, had a pool, you know, has, you know, Mercedes, like that. And then he has a financial reverse. So if we have a fundraiser for that person, you know, would people feel inclined to give? I once asked Rav Schachter about this. I think he said, like, it depends on, you know, if you have enough money. In other words, like, you have other responsibilities to give to other aniyim and things like that. But, you know, do you think people would respond to an appeal like that? And we have to give money for, you know, Reuven, you know, he doesn't have his pool anymore. We have to have a fundraiser so you can build a pool, so you can get a Mercedes. But anyway, but that's what the Torah is mechayev.
It's a story about this beggar who says to the man, "Mister, can you spare $5? I need money." Says, "$1 not enough. Don't tell me how to run my business."
All right. Now with this, he connects this. There's a sefer Rinat Chayol by Rav Yosef Shmuel Cohen Shlita. So there's a piece from the Gra, the Vilna Gaon. The last perek in Mishlei in the book of Proverbs is Eshet Chayol Miimsa, which we recite on Friday night. So the simplest pshat is like referring to a person's wife, but there are other drushes that refers to the Torah. It could be Eshes Chayil. The Shabbos could be Eshes Chayil. So the Gra takes it that the word Chayil, Chet Yud Lamed, is 48, right? And Gematria is 48. So that corresponds to the 48 L things that the Torah is acquired with. There are 48 midot that the Torah is acquired with. So Eshet Chayil is saying that you could acquire the Torah with these 48 items. So the essence is that they're all merumas, all 48 elements are merumas in this parak of Eshes Chayil. So in this sefer, Rina Chayil, he tries to divide up the parak and figure out where the 48 elements are there, right? So he quotes the pasuk, Kapa Parsala Ani, her hand she spreads forth to the poor person, V'yadeh Shulcha La'evyon, and her hand she sends forth to the Evion is also usually a poor person. So he says, Kapa Parsal Ani, this Keneg Lamida, Oevet Abriot, Oevet Estakot. You love the people, you love like doing, you know, charity. But Biyadel Shulchla Evion is the Mida of Nose Ba'olim Chaveiro. And the difference between Avet Abriot and Nose Ba'olim Chaveiro, Oevet Abriot, the Ikar Yisod is that that I want to fulfill you know, the person's chisaron, but based on my own sensibilities. In other words, like I this would be a chisaron for me. I feel for you. Like I, you know, that's one level. But no sebon chavero, that's, he's able to sort of project, you know, wherever that person is coming from, even if it wouldn't be a chisaron for me, as we discussed earlier, he's going to try to fulfill it. So, and he says also, like you see in Shas, sometimes the Gemara says, Tir Gemara Abaye, Liba de Rava. Abaye and Rava will be having a machloket, and Abaye will, like, they'll ask a kasha against Rava from maybe a brisa, and then the Gemara says, Tir Gemara Abaye, Liba de Rava. Abaye will explain based on the way Rava's position is, means that Abai is nichnas into the Havana of Rava and Sfar, like as if he would hold it, as Matarets. So it says that, and again, so it's like Deimach Sro Sheikh Sarlo with the Sus and the Eved. So that's that element. Now he says, that says Yadeh Shulchala Evyon. Evyon means a poor person, but Evyon means a person who's mit'abeh for some things, in other words, desires things. That's the Evyon, and like the sister Chovalav. But anyway, that's the higher element. Okay, now, from there, he segues to a discussion about, he says that Moshe Rabbeinu also had this higher element of Noseh Ba'olam Chaveiro, meaning not only to be able to feel if it's something that would harm me, but I'm able to project the way other people are feeling, even though I'm not in that position. So, he quotes from the Tiferet Yehonatan by Rav Yonasan Eibeschutz. He says that what was the reason that the Egyptians did not enslave Shevet Levi? Because I'll teach us, Shevet Levi was not in the Shibut, was not enslaved. Why did they not enslave it? So Paro saw through sorcery that from Shevet Levi is going to come the savior of Klal Yisrael. So Paro thought that somebody who hasn't experienced the Tzara can't be the savior. In other words, I see, like through my astrology or whatever, that the savior of the Jews is going to come from Shevet Levi, but I don't think they'll be able to be a savior if he never went through the experience. In other words, maybe people won't be able to relate to him, and he'll never get off the ground, something like that. In other words, he says that only anybody who suffered the galus can be the Rosh. He says so. That's the way he figured it that way, but. He quotes, one second. Oh, right, he's got a little bit of piece here. I'm going to leave out some of it. And that really was the time of Klal Yisrael. It says, Lo shamu amu shemikotza ruach. He says, like, that they didn't believe. Why, how come you're the leader? You didn't go through the slavery. So he brings down that he heard from Rabbi Zecharia Gelin, who was the Av Beis Din in Adas Yeshurun, that he has a nice shot. He says, Sof kol sof, it's a good taina. So how could it be that Moshe Rabbeinu was able to be the savior? The Torah says that Paro and the Egyptians made a mistake. They didn't realize the greatness of Moshe Rabbeinu, that even though he wasn't the Shibud, he was on a level that he could feel their pain as if he had experienced it, and as if he had also been a slave. And it's like the Noseh Ba'olam Chaveiro. And so even though you're right, normally to be like a savior in that situation, you'd have to go through it. But Moshe Rabbeinu was exceptional and able to go further. Is Rav Gelli still head of the Washington Heights community today or not? Do you know? One second. Let me check. Gelly, one second. Oh, you know, no, he passed away. Yeah. Rav Gelli passed away in 2018, right? So he passed away 2 years ago. All right. So let's see further in the Gemara. Here in the Sefer. Now, with this, he connects to a piece from the Shalah. The Shalah is Yeshaya Horowitz. He lived in the 17th century, and he authored the Sefer, Shnei Luchot HaBrit. What I always remember about the Shalah is he made Aliyah in 1620. 1620 was Plymouth Rock, so that sticks in my mind. So 1620 is when the Shalah made Aliyah, and he's heavily into Kabbalah. So he talks about the importance of feeling the other person's pain, even if he's not in the Tzara. And he connects this to the words in the Psukim. It says in Va'era, it mentions Shmo B'nai Reuben Shimon, but by Levi it says Ve'ele Shmo B'nai Levi. In other words, the Torah says like Shimon and his sons, Reuben and his sons, but when it comes to Levi, Ve'ele Shemot B'nai Levi. These are the names of the sons of Levi. The other Shvatim doesn't mention that way. So he says that Shevet Levi wasn't in the Galus, but Levi knew that, and he wanted to be Mishtatef in the Tzara Hashibud. And what did he do? He called his sons names that reflected the galus and the difficulties. The Gershon is Girim Heim Be'eretz Lehem, that they're strangers in a strange land. Kahad Kinim Keo, their teeth are being blunted. It means that they're suffering. He says Merari by Mamaru Chayim, they embittered their lives, and that's Ve'eder Shmo B'nei Levi. And he says Mikam Yilmad Kol Dam Shtei Pitzar HaTzibur. From here, everybody can learn to be Mishtatev, to participate in the tsar of the tzibur, meaning even if you can't help and you can't do anything, but just to feel the pain is also a mila. Is also a mila. Now, I'm shifting Sfarim now for a moment. This is from the Sefer Yalkut Lekach Tov, and he mentions the Shalah, and then he mentions that in 1967, Rabbi Chizkel Levenstein he insisted that Talmidim and Panovitz that they should like feel compassion for the Israeli families whose soldiers were in the field of battle, and to recognize, in other words, that there's an aspect of a haftal reacha kamocha. And then he mentions also from the Sefer Chafetz Chaim that his Talmud, Rav Moshe Yashar, he tells about the Chafetz Chaim during the First World War. He says the Chafetz Chaim, he normally he looked like youthful and things like that. Now, like all the pains of the world were on his shoulders. And he was concerned with the Tsar, all the difficulties that Jews were going through, and how Jews were chased from their homes and being shot and murdered and things like that. And one of the evenings, his wife woke up, the wife of the Chafetz Chaim, and to her shock, she sees that her husband's not in the bed. So she went looking for him. She finds him sleeping on a bench, and his hands were under his head. So she asked him, "What are you doing here? How come you're leaving the bed? You're sleeping on the bench." He said, "You know, other Jews are refugees. They're going out in the streets. They're suffering from famine and cold, and the young men are in like these, what do they call it? Like the trenches or the trenches in the field of battle, and they're facing death. How can I sleep on my bed, though, so comfortable?" When Jews are suffering so much. And then he tells the story about Reb Chaim Soloveitchik. It's brought down the Sefer Marbitzei Torah Musar, that this is talking about in Brisk. There was a big fire in I think it was in 1895, I think. Does he have where? All right, anyway, there was a big fire in Brisk, right, in 1895. So the Reb Chaim, he didn't rest, and he put all of his efforts to helping the families of who had suffered from the fire. And all those days after the fire, Reb Chaim didn't sleep in his house. He went to the hallway of the shul, and he slept on the floor. And all the pleadings of the members of his family that he should go home and sleep on the bed didn't help. He says, "I can't." He says, "How can I sleep in a bed when so many Jews are, you know, don't have a roof over their heads?" That's really quite a mile, but that's clearly no Seba Olim Chaveiro. Any event, did you want to say anything, or you're good? Everybody good? All right, let me go on. So he quotes further the Ohevet Abriot. He says, we started off with no Seba Olim Chaveiro, and he mentioned, then he segued into this 48 Midot, and it comes out that among the 48 Midot is Oevet Abriot and No Seba Olam Chaveiro. Those are, in other words, if you person wants to acquire Torah, it sounds you think counterintuitive. If I study the books, don't I acquire Torah? But the Mishnah teaches me not this way. In order to acquire Torah, I have to have these midot. So if I'm cold to the world, I can't acquire Torah. So why is it? Why does one equal B? Why do I have to have this aspect of, you know, Oevet Abriot and No Seba Olam Chaveiro? So So he quotes from the Maharal and Derech Chaim. He says that when a person is oyv the briot, he's toch klal habriot, means he's one of the group. In other words, by I'm oyv the briot, that by definition means I'm not by myself. I'm part of the whole chevra. I'm doing things that make me part of the chevra. And so if I'm not oyv the briot, how could be zoche the Torah? The Torah was given to the klal. It means the Torah, which is really saying like a kaddish baruch hu, but it's given to like it was given to the group. That's the way the Torah was given. He says, if I'm a yachid by myself, so the Torah wasn't given to a yachid. And the same thing with no sebo and chavero. So now he, Rav Simon, adds on to that. He says, the mito and no sebo chavero, those are hachanot kabbalas the Torah. In other words, if I have those mito, that enables me to acquire the Torah. But conversely, they're also a result of studying Torah, meaning as a result of studying Torah, I'll be infused with those midot, hopefully. Now, he says that one second. So he says the fact that Klal Yisrael needed this preparation of Shiluach Avadim, in other words, that they wouldn't feel the pain unless they had been through it, so they had to get the mitzvah before. That was only before Matan Torah. But after Matan Torah, so now we have a chiv of De Master or Sheikh Sarlo. In other words, so before Matan Torah, it's just like the garden variety, no sebo om chavero. But now we're mitzvah to be on a higher level. He says, the koach with the koach haTorah, everybody can get to that madrega. And he quotes from the Or HaChaim. The Or HaChaim says, before Matan Torah, if Klal Yisrael would have been mishtakeh with the Chamishim Sharei Tuma, so then they wouldn't have been able to be redeemed. But after Matan Torah, the koach haTorah is so great that even if they would be in the 50th Shar, they could be redeemed. Okay, let me just summarize what we did, then we'll take questions, comments, and thoughts, and then we'll go on to another point if you're interested. Okay, so this topic was No Se Ba'olim Chaveiro, and then we mentioned about this Pasuk by Savim Vesel Paro Melch Mitzrayim, Lo Sipin Israel Meiretz Mitzrayim. So Paro, I understand, they're telling him to let the Jews go. What's the Tzivui to Bnei Israel? So Yerushalmi says that they were Suvan Shiluach Chavadim. So we mentioned two Pshatim, one from the Meshech Chachma, that they had Jewish slaveholders, and the Jewish slaveholders were admonished to release their slaves. But the mainstream is to say that they got the mitzvah of Shiluach Avadim, which is the mitzvah to release the slaves in the seventh year or the Yovel year. And because when you're going through, when you're experiencing what it means to be a slave, so then you know what that pain is, and it's difficult to release a slave. Now you know what it is, so now you can give you the mitzvah, and you can internalize it. Then we said Moshe Rabbeinu also had this, that he separated the three Arei Miklat, the simple pshat, he likes doing mitzvot, but the Medrash Rabbah says that he knew, he says, Misha chalat atav shil yodei tamo, the person who's eaten the food knows its taste, meaning if you've experienced it, you know what it is. So Moshe Rabbeinu experienced what it means to be on the lamb, and that's why he wanted to designate. Then we said there's a higher level, De Machsro Sheyachsar Lo, Yechsar Lo, that even if it's just chaser to him, and the Chazal teaches in the Gemara Masech Subas, he says, even if he's lacking a horse or an eved to run in front of him, you know, that's part of the De Machsro. Then we had in Eishes Chayil, which Belinetta will recite tonight, hopefully before dinner. So the Gra says Chayil is Gematria 48, that the 48 Mido, the Torah is acquired, is contained in this. And there's a Sefer Rinat Chayil by Rav Yosef Shmuel Cohen. So he says in the Pasuk Kapa Parsala Ani, she opens her hand to the poor person, V'yadeh Shilcha Le'evyon. So V'yadeh Shilcha Le'evyon, that Le'evyon means like the person who wants, who needs. And that's the No Se Ba'olim Chaveiro, De Masro Sheikh Sarlo. Even if I don't know it, but that's where he sees it. Then we said that that Moshe Rabbeinu had this midah that he was able to, you know, project on other people. We said that Paro wasn't Meshavet Shevet Levi because he knew the savior of the Jews would come from Shevet Levi. And so he figured, I'm good, they'll never be able to get it off. And so, but Sataka, how did Moshe Rabbeinu, and we said that they didn't listen to Moshe Rabbeinu initially. So how was Moshe Rabbeinu able to be the leader? So Reb Zecharia Geli, Zichron Levracha, said that that Paro underestimated, you know, or the abilities of Moshe. He didn't know Moshe Rabbeinu, but at that point in time, but he underestimated what Moshe Rabbeinu would be capable of, that he was able to empathize with Jews who had been in slavery. Then we said that the Shalah says that Levi named his sons, you know, Gershon, Kadam, Merari, it's all Merames to the Shibud because he wanted to be Mishtate for the Tsar. And we spoke about different stories with Rabbi Cheskel Levenstein and the Chafetz Chaim and Rabbi Chaim Soloveitchik, how they either were Madgish or they themselves, you know, both, they felt what it meant to, and Rabbi Cheskel Levenstein also, he was admonishing other people, I'm sure he felt as well, to feel the other people who were the Tsar. Then we said, why is it that that I need Oy Benabri Nosei Ba'olim Chavero to acquire the Torah? So it's more than just being a nice person. Maral says the Torah was given to the Klal, and if I'm just a Yachid, so the Torah doesn't fit in with me. And then we said that that through studying Torah, a person could acquire this midah. And then he quoted, like, the Ora Chaim says that once they got the Torah, so now the Torah, like, when they were in Mitzrayim, so if they would have gotten to the 50th gate of Tumah, they wouldn't have been able to take it out. But after Mitzrayim, so even a person on the 50th gate of Torah, of the Tumah, so the Torah can pull them out of that mess. Okay, any questions, comments, thoughts on anything we did so far?
I have a question unrelated to it. Okay.
Related or unrelated?
Unrelated. Just quick.
Related, yeah.
You have a minion in your shul in Great Neck?
Yeah, we're being recorded now. Let's wait till after the shiur, okay?
Because I have your time on Tu Bishvat. Okay.
Okay, we have the minion is going like usual. All the minyanim, we have the regular minyanim, Abe. Okay, so Tu Bishvat is 2 weeks from Thursday, from the last Thursday. So, yeah. Okay, so the minion is at 7:40 on Thursdays, okay? 6:35 and 7:40, and 7:40 in the same place. Same place, okay? Okay, now, all right, now, with just say a little piece from Makat Sfardeya, and then we'll do a little bit more. So one of the plagues is Makat Sfardeya. So Sfardeya we usually translate as frogs. The Ramban in his Pirush of Chumash, I think in next week's Parsha, which Rav Simon brings down, he says it's a crocodile, Al Timsach in Arabic, which makes more sense, you know, like what's in the Yor and things like that. But he quotes a piece from Rav Itzel from Volozhin, and this seems to be substantially similar. Let me get the safer out. Where do I have it? Let me see where it is. 1 second. Oh man, where do I do with it? 1 minute. Wait, let me. Oh, here it is. Yeah, Ramatis Blum Zichron Levracha brings down the same idea in the name of the Stipler, by Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky. So it says, Vatal HaTzfardeya. So the Tzfardeya went out. So Pshuto Shemikra, what does it mean, the singular? It's why not, you know, Tzfardeim? So Rashi, one pshat Rashi says that in Hebrew, the singular could be the same as, it means the plural. Like we have this in English also, like the word fish or a cannon. You say 50 cannon. So the singular is the same as the plural, or, you know, 100 fish. You don't say 100 fishes, you know. But and so Tzfardeya, even though there is a plural, Tzfardeim, but Rashi says Tzfardeya can also mean plural. But the second shot, Rashi says, is that it was just one Tzfardeya. This, again, I think that crocodile makes more sense to me, you know, but one Tzfardeya left, and by Yumakinoto, and then they were beating it, and then streams of Tzfardeim came out from it. So the way in my mind, like I like to imagine, is like a big Tzfardeya, you know, beating it. But that's it. So the Stipler in the Sefer Birchas Peretz says, when the Egyptians were beating it and saw all these Tzfardeim coming out from it, so logically they should stop. But why didn't they? In other words, they're beating it until everything is filled with Tzfardeim. But the anger teaches just the opposite. In other words, that, like, you know, they have to keep beating. But the more they're beating, it's like harming them worse, until Vatachasid Eretz Mitzrayim, until it covered the whole land of Egypt. So he says that's the way every time when a person gets angry, like sometimes, like let's say a person's in a dispute with somebody, and somebody says something insulting, and then I'm angry, then I respond, and it just gets like doesn't help the situation. It just is worse and worse and worse and worse. And if a person could restrain themselves and be quiet, so the things would kind of quiet down. But then sometimes people speak and it doesn't help. It just like, you know, makes the situation much worse. So and so that's from the Stipler. And here Rav Simon quotes this from Itzel Volozhiner. Itzel Volozhiner is Reb Chaim Volozhiner's son. The same idea. Anyway, Itzel from Volozhin said that he spoke about like different, not on the individual level, but like different groups that were arising, and that if you like fight them openly, it doesn't always help. It makes it worse. You know what I mean? So, but anyway, you get the idea. All right. Now let me do one more piece from Simon, and then I think that'll probably be it for today. All right. Let me see this piece. Here's a piece. All right. This is now, there's a Rashi at the beginning of the Parsha. It says, "Vayidaber Elokim Moshe vayomer lav ani Hashem va'ira l'Avraham l'Yitzchak Yaakov b'Kel Shakai." I appear to Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov in the name of Kel Shakai. So Rashi says, "Va'ira el ha'avot." I appear to the avot. So it's like it's a shalom for semet. What is Rashi adding on? In other words, it says, "Va'ira el Avraham l'Yitzchak Yaakov b'Kel Shakai va'ira el avot." So the emes is that and the Iturei Torah brings down that he quotes from, I think, the Torah Tamima. Let me pull the sefer out. Let me get the sefer. Yeah, so he quotes from from Reb Baruch Levi Epstein. He's the author of the Torah Tmima. So he says that it's due to a mistake. He wants to say that that a scribe or somebody who was copying it over wanted to shorten it over. In other words, the Dibur Matchil was by Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov Kel Shakai. That was Dibur Matchil. And a copyist wanted to make it easier, said Va'era El Havot. As he wrote El Havot instead of Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov. And then a later publisher, you know, thought Avot was the Perush. So he's got the Dibur Matchil Va'era, and then the Perush is El Havot. But the Rav Simon has a piece which is different. He quotes from the Sefer. This is Sefer Ilana Dechayi. Ilana Dechayi means like the living, like the Eitz HaChayim. It means the Eitz HaChayim. That's what Ilana Dechayi, the Eitz HaChayim. So that's by Menachem Mendel of Rimanov. So he quotes it. So he says, everybody's asking, where's Rashi Mechadesh? So he says that he heard in the name of the Chasam Sofer that Ava is Lashon Lo Ava Yami. Ava can mean to be desired. Like we said before, you know, Evyon is like the, why is he Evyon? He desires things. So he says the Rashi's Vedravot, in other words, when a person desires that I appear to him and he turns himself into a kli, into a vessel that I can appear to. In other words, Va'era el ha'avot, I appear to those who desire that I should appear to them. You know what I mean? Not just I desire, but I comport my life in a way that I will appear to them. Those are the people that I appear to. That's what the Chasam Sofer says. So, and he says that he heard that the Chasam Sofer said in the name of the Ramban, to explain similarly, there's a pasuk, like a Shem Hashem Ekya Asher Ekya. I will be what I will be. So he says he wants to say that I will be with the person, like I will be with the person that wants that I should be with him. In other words, if you want it, you know, like I'm going to sort of reflect you. Like if you move forward, then I'll move forward. It's a little bit like in Kabbalah, there's, like, you know, the idea, it's a root of latata, it's a root of la'ela, the arousal from below, the arousal from above. So if you move yourself. So he quoted Rav Simon did during the Shir, he quoted from Rav Chaim Yaakov Golver, Tzitzal, who was like Rosh Hashiv of Kerem B'Yavne, who was a Talmud of the Briska Rav and the Chazon Ish. So he said that he liked the there's a Gemara in Brachot that says Ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu Nitein Chachma Elo Mi She'esh Bo Chachma. Hashem only gives Chachma to a person who has Chachma. So it's hard to understand. How do you get the Chachma to begin with? In other words, you don't need the Chachma, you have the Chachma. What does it mean? So he explained that it means that if a person, he desires the Chachma, Lemi She'esh Bo Chachma means the person has a desire for Chachma, then Hashem fills him with Chachma. So that's the way that piece starts it off. So then he quotes from the Sfas Emes, and this Sfas Emes Rav Simon likes to, is quoted in the past. He said he heard it from Rav Noach Isaac Elbaum the first time. There's this pasuk that we say in Halil, Me'ashpot Yerim Evyon. So the Pshuto Shel Mikra is from, Ashpot is like really the garbage from the dump heaps. You raise the Evyon, the poor person. That's the Pshuto Shel Mikra, the plain meaning of the pasuk. But the Sfas Emes says that Hashem, Evyon means like our desires, like we have desires, but they're in the wrong place. Like we desire, like 50 Mercedes. We want, 10 pools. We want this. So we have our desires, but our desires are lousy.
Especially if we can raise the money at an appeal.
Well, what can I tell you? Anyway, so it's. But Me'ashpot Yerim Evyon, Hashem raises our desires that we should have the right desires. So and Lahoshivim the Divim, in other words, he's mita'apech, like our Ava, so that we'll be with the Divim, like the elevated people. And he quotes now with this with the idea of Ekya Asher Ekya. So the Ramban in his Pirush and Chumash says, again, it's the idea, like he quotes from Chazal, he says, K'shem shta hove imi, kach ani hove imach. And it was like, you are with me, that's the way I'll be with you. So he says, im potkim yideyim osim staka, you're generous with other people, I'll be generous with you. You're a tightwad, so I'm a tightwad with you. In other words, everything I reflect the way you are, that's the way, and it's similar to like va'era l'ha'avod. In other words, like, you want me to appear to you? What are you doing to make me appear to you? He quotes this medrash in Shir Shirim. It's a famous member of Chazal. It's not usually quoted. The way the medrash says is that a Kadosh Baruch Hu says, "Banai pitchuli petach achad shel tshuva kichud shel machad." Open with me. Open for me like an opening. Kichud shel machad means like the tip of the pin. If you take a pin and you poke it in a fabric, you get a small little hole. So open up kipitcha, kikhuda shamachat, bani potech lemsachim shu aglota kroniot nichnasopo. I'll open up entranceways that wagons can come through. And those, you do a little bit and I'll open up more. Welcome, Aaron Moshe. Nice to have you. So then he quoted from this Sefer She'ifot. She'ifot talks about all desires of different Talmidei Chachamim. So he quotes here that Rav Nasan Meir Bachvogel Zitzal, who was the Mashkiach in Lakewood, said, related once about the Ragachover of Yosef Rosen. So he the Ragachover gave a hesped for the Or Sameach, the Meshach Chachma, who we mentioned, Rameir Simch of Dvensk. So the Meshach Chachma passed away in the 1920s, and the Ragachover also lived in Dvensk, so he gave a hesped for him. And he said that when there's a fire in a person's home with sakana nefesh, like we're danger to property or people, so all of a sudden, like tremendous kochos get revealed in a person that you don't see normally. Like a person will go to great lengths to save his family and to save his money. And relates a little bit what we've done in Daf Yomi, right, with Fern, with the remember with Adam Bahulo Mamono, remember, like, if there's a...
Yeah, so to save the Torah.
Right, right. Well, no, remember we said that, like, if...
Shabbos.
Right, right. So a person is so futumal with his money, so if you let him take anything out, he'll come to douse out the fire. So Chazal limited what you could remove from the house on Shabbos if there's no
there's no emergency.
Right, they limited what you could take out. So he says... That koach isn't a new koach that's suddenly given at that moment. It's a koach you always have. It's just now it's revealed. So he says, by the Or Sameach, this is what the Ragat Shavar said, there was always a fire burning in him. In other words, with his Avos Torah, he was always, you know, hustling and energetic to acquire the Torah. And similarly, the Chafetz Chaim explained the Pasuk, Sas Anochi Al Imratecha Kemotzei Shalal Rav. I'm happy concerning your imra, like your statement, your mitzvah, like Motzei Shalal Rav, like a person who finds like a tremendous amount of booty. So David HaMelech was made that he's Osek B'Torah from a feeling like Motzei Shalal Rav. I'll get to Aaron Moshe. He says, means just like it's clear to a person if in a certain place is a hidden treasure of precious stones and pearls, and he only has limited time to grab them. So he's not going to, you know, even give him a moment's sleep. He's going to grab whatever he can, whatever he could do. So that's how David HaMelech was Osek in Torah Masim Tovim. In other words, very few people can spend the whole day studying Torah. But let's say you have an hour to study Torah, so you want to grab whatever you can during that hour. That's Sas Anochi Amotech Kemotzei Shalal Rav. I know Rav Simon quoted like the Brisker Rav said, when a person like finds something, he has an excitement, and that's the way it should be with Torah. Okay, what do you want to say, Aaron Moshe?
I heard a shot from when David HaMelech was in other words, they were posing that the whole Malchus is not no good because he came from Amoini,
right. So, you know, from Moab. Moab, yeah.
Yeah, so he said the whole thing. So he uses these pasuk. He says, Sarim Radif, I forgot what says the before that. Sarim Radifunni Chinam in Medvarecha Hachat Levi. He says, they were running after me, Bechinim, and from your words, I was scared. What means from your words? From Futayr Shabbal Peh, I was scared. I was worried that they were right. But when it comes to Torah Shebik Shebal Peh, not Torah Shebik Sav, now that you have Torah Shebal Peh, we prove that they're wrong.
All right. Anyway, let me just do last pieces from Tana Devil, will be the last piece. There's a Tana Devil Yahum. It's so he relates that. He says that I was walking, it's Eliyahu Navi, was walking from place to place. So somebody encountered me who had no learning, no, didn't know psukim, didn't know mishnayot. He was like scoffing and things like that, and he came to me. I said to him, how are you going to answer a Kaddish Baruch Hu in Yom HaDin? You're not Osekin any Torah. But Marley Rebbe Yesh the Dvarim Shani Meshivo. He says, I have what to respond. Being a Vidalo, not Liman Shemayim Shek Ravishna. In Shemayim, they didn't give me the Seichel to understand Torah, so I couldn't learn it. But Marty Lo Bini Mamalach Techa. I said, what line of work do you do? What's your trade and profession? But Marley Tsayarani, I'm a fisherman. He said, I said, to be pishtan so who taught you, you know, to take the flax, to weave it into nets, to throw it into the sea, and to catch the fish? Who taught you all of that? But Marley, Rebbe, bezen only being a badam neshamim, that I have seichel for, that I was able to understand. But Marty lo umala be pishtam lo rukman sudo shlich layam lo dagam in a yam that nuluch abina b'dayim in a shmayim that mishmayim they gave you the seichel to understand how to catch the fish. It was a very Torah shetuba kirev lech devar ma'od fich bav chalas to nulucham b'dayim in a shmayim. I mean, for Torah they didn't give you the seichel. You know, they only have the seichel to make the money. You don't have the seichel to understand Torah. Miyana yamrein kolo vochem matanei asamili. He was crying and groaning. Don't too bad. And the call Shar Bnei Adam Bayolam Mehim Shivan Shuvazu. Everybody, that's the everybody's enfer, if we could say that. And whatever they're osik, but Masei Mochichan Alein. In other words, their actions like undercut their claims. He says, and concerning them, it says. Anyway, and then this is the Beis Halevi. We did this Beis Halevi a couple of weeks ago, where remember he with the brothers. You know, he says Ani Yosef Achichem Shemachartem Moti Hena. So said Oiloyim within only Omotochecha. In other words, like with that statement, he undercut all their tainas. They said, you know, how can we go back to our father? You know, without Binyamin, he'll die from it. So, oh, you're concerned with the father? How did he survive without me? Anyway, that's the basic idea. Or let me just summarize what we did. Then there has to be I got to cut this short, and that's it. Anyway, the idea was. Va'era el ha'avot. So what does it mean avot? So one pshat from the Torah Tamima was it's a mistake. You know, the copyist just wrote and Avram said Avram Yitzchak wrote avot and it got absorbed into the perish. But he quotes. Getting too much noise in here. One second. So he quotes from Ilana Dechayi, which is by Menachem El Ribbonov. Avot means like I appeared to the people who desired me. And then we quoted from or Rav Simon. This is all from Rav Simon. He quoted from the Sfas Emes. He says Me'ashpot Yerim Avyon, that from the depths you bring up the poor person, but it means Me'ashpot Yerim Avyon, our desires. You lift up our desires. We got lousy stinko desires. So you lift up our desires that our desires should be in the right place. And we should desire to learn Shas. We should desire all these other things. And then. We said, and he said also, and then the Ramban says, Ekya, Asher Ekya, that as you are, that's how I am. You're generous with people, I'll be generous with you. Everything is you know, and then we said that if a person Medrashaba, he opens up a little bit for tshuva, Hashem opens up a wide door for him. And then we said with the Hesped from Rav Nasan Meir of Bachbo, repeated from Rav Yosef the Ragachava for the Meshech Chachma, that you know the Meshech Chachma was always on fire. And then Sasan Ochil Amratecha Kamotse Shalal Rav, David HaMelech was saying that, you know, it's like finding like booty. In other words, like a person, if he's got limited time, he's got to grab all the diamonds. He's not going to say, oh, well, who can bother with the diamonds? I only have an hour with them. You're going to grab whatever you can. That's the way it is with Torah. And then we quoted from the Tanit of Eliyahu about, you know, Eliyahu Navi was encountering somebody and he had his tinnitus. Okay, I think that's it for today. Any questions, comments, thoughts on anything I did so far? Okay, let me end the recording. Now we could really...